So mindfulness is an embodied practice. It's paying attention to the body from the inside out. The mind can only do one thing at a time. Every moment that it's mindful is a moment where it can't be, it's not worrying, it's not stressing. Even if you're in the midst of worrying about something, and you have a mindful moment and the next one is worried. And then the next one's mindful, the next one's worried. That those little bit of mindfulness that you put into it helps the body begin to relax, the mind begin to relax. A relaxed body brings a relaxed mind. A relaxed mind supports relaxing the body. So it works back and forth, it's connected. It's really helpful to be aware of the difference between the body sensations we have in meditation and the commentary we have about them. We often have them hand in hand and don't even realize that we're actually giving most of our attention to the commentary and very little attention to the actual felt sense of the sensations. For instance, you know, if there's a strong sensation, let's say an itch, a really strong itch, you really want to scratch it and it's really uncomfortable. The tendency is for the mind to say, I want to get rid of it. The mind saying, I want to get rid of it is not feeling it. That's commentary. The mind pushing it away saying, I hate it. That's commentary. The sensation is a sensation, which might be, you might experience it as a burning, a tingling, you know, an itch. An itching. So can you bring your attention fully to the itch? I remember the very first time I paid attention to an itch instead of trying to get rid of it. It was actually really interesting. It became this very neutral object. And I was able to just stay with it from the beginning of the itch to the end of the itch, and it actually went away. I'm not itching anymore. And so a lot of these things that happen in the body, you know, just by showing up for them, they'll move, they'll change. you know, sometimes I've had pain during meditation, you know, and my mind says, well, I'll really be able to meditate once the pain is gone. So, you know, and I'll actually, you know, believe that idea, you know, that I can't meditate unless the pain is gone. And the idea of this practice is that we show up for life, however it is. We show up regardless of the conditions. Sometimes the conditions are, you know, feel wonderful and joyous and great. And other times the conditions are challenging. And pain might be one of the challenging conditions. So we don't have to believe the commentary that might come up. A lot of it is a lifetime of habits about things. So in this practice, you know, we use the breath as the anchor, as kind of our home base. You know, we come back to the breath to bring us into the body, into the present. And last night we started with paying attention to the breath. So today, this morning, we open up the attention to include the entire body, but only if something compelling arises. So if you're sitting and the most compelling thing is the breath, stay with the breath. But if something compelling arises, you know, a shoulder tension or kind of a warmth all over the body that gets your attention or tingling or something strong, it's fine to bring your attention to shift it to that to the compelling sensation until it's gone. And then once it's gone, you come back to the breath. It's important not to view it as an interruption, as something that is undesirable. It's really about how we pay attention, the continuity of our attention. So this is what a breath is like. This is what an itch is like. This is what heat in the body is like. So whatever shows up, we open to it. If a dog starts barking, And we find ourselves, you know, it becomes like the dominant thing in our minds. We don't have to push it away. You know, we do meditation of barking. You know, we just bring that in. Mindfulness of the body includes mindfulness of hearing. And we notice the commentary. I wish those people would do something about it. Oh yeah, that's commentary. You know, that's aversion. And so we keep coming back to the felt sense or in hearing, which is actually hearing the dog barking and the actual sounds it makes. And then we bring it back to the breath. And with all these, you know, as we open up the attention to other compelling experience, at any time, if it feels confusing, if it feels, you know, not like you're not able to really pay attention to it in a way that works for you in the moment, it's okay to come back to the breath. You'll have plenty of other opportunities. So just always, it's fine to come back to the breath to stabilize the mind, to get back into the present. At any time that the practice feels a little bit confused, you're a little bit lost out there. It can be helpful to minimize how much we move during the meditation. And I want to qualify that because, you know, for instance, in the beginning of the sitting, it's really important to kind of find your seat. And sometimes, you know, including the most experienced meditators, we might take our time just getting just right. So I might sit for a minute and then kind of shift just a tiny little bit, you know, to feel just right. So when we say it's really helpful not to move, you know, we hold that lightly. You know, in general, that's a really, I think it's a really helpful instruction. Like if you have a niche, don't just scratch it automatically. If you have an ache somewhere, don't just move away from it automatically. But really notice, become really mindful of it. And sometimes the right thing is to move. So really learn to know the difference in your body, to trust the difference between that momentary tension, or which might last a minute or two, that actually kind of settles out as you relax, instead of trying to immediately move away from the discomfort. Really get mindful, get to know your body. And if you need to move, of course, move. We don't want to be hurting our bodies. You know, we don't want to be sitting with pain so that the meditation becomes grim. You know, I'll say a few more words and working with pain at the end of our meditation. And I lost track. Give you a sec. So, let's talk about stillness and sitting still. And if we have to move, you know, for instance, sometimes people are, especially on the first day of meditation, of meditation retreat, we do a lot more sitting than we're used to. And, you know, and we might be used to sitting on the floor and the body is beginning to really seriously suffer. And, you know, it might be really the wise thing to move, to sit in a chair, change positions, you know, but the keeping the body still really helps the concentration to deepen, to not be distracted by chasing the little discomforts that arise in the body. One of the things that's really helpful when we look at the body sensations is to kind of think of them like a scientist examining some new animal that they just discovered. You know, wow, what is it like? Look at that skin. Look at those eyes. Look at those. You know, it's an attitude of interest and curiosity. And, you know, can we bring that kind of interest to unpleasant sensations that might arise, or pleasant ones. Often really pleasant sensations arise in meditation. So can we get really interested in them, with this very objective, curious, warm look at it. And it just, even though we're focused on mindfulness of the body and body sensations, we don't go chasing them, we don't go looking for them, only if they really arise naturally. So let's go ahead and do a, I'll guide the beginning of the meditation now. So if you haven't found a comfortable alert posture, please take one. So it can be helpful to spend a little time establishing a connection with the body and making small adjustments, finding your seat. And it's helpful to take a few deep breaths when you start. And then with each exhale, just allow the body to relax a little bit more. And take a minute or two to gradually scan your body, just starting with the head and going through your body and relaxing where you can relax. And if anything doesn't want to relax, it feels tight, just see if you can just soften around it. Have compassion for it. So you start with the head, the shoulders. The upper back, mid back, low back, the pelvis, the front of your body, your face, your jaw, your eyes, your chest, your belly, keeping a soft belly. Relaxing the right arm, elbow, the forearm, the hand. Relaxing the left arm, the forearm, the hand. And relaxing the thighs, the right thigh, right knee, right calf, right foot, the left one, left calf, the foot. And notice that you can shift your attention from one area to another. And now taking another deep breath, allow your attention to focus on the felt sense of the breath. And allow your attention to rest in the breath as long as no other compelling physical sensations arise. If any strong physical sensation becomes compelling, shift your attention to it and explore the sensations that make it up. Hardness or softness, warmth or coolness, tingling, pressure, burning, heaviness, lightness. Sometimes it can be helpful to give you an objective sense of the experience, is to actually label it, to note what's happening with a very gentle, gentle, soft whisper in the mind that keeps your attention on the experience, but most of the attention is on how it feels from the inside. So it might sound like this. You might just whisper in the mind, tingling, tingling, or burning, burning, itching, itching. Just very gentle, and only if it's helpful. a traditional metaphor that can support our embodied practice is thinking of ourselves as a mountain, as rooted and solid. Here you are. The mind might wander away, but you can return and feel yourself here, rooted in this body, in the present. Thoughts come up. They're just like clouds floating by. Being mindful of hearing is part of being mindful of the body. When I ring the bell, turn your attention to the sound and listen to it with a receptive attitude. Try to listen to the vibrations of the sound until they completely disappear. And just like it can be helpful to take a couple of deep breaths as we enter into the meditation, it can be helpful to do so as you come out of it. So if you'd like, take a couple of deep breaths, and then when you're ready, open your eyes. I wanted to say a few words about pain, working with pain. And the first thing I want to say is that there's a difference between working with pain that arises that's going to go away. Like if you have a cold or a sore throat or a headache or discomfort in meditation that goes away when you stand up. It's very different than chronic pain, which it might be pain that's there all the time. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, mostly about the pain that goes away. And pain, any kind of pain, is affected by how we relate to it. For instance, I used to know a guy, you know, he was like a heavy-duty weightlifter. And he would, you know, lift this incredibly heavy weights, and he just grimaced in pain as he did it, you know. And, you know, and because this was like this real kind of macho thing that he felt really good about in himself, you know, and, you know, it was, he was absolutely into the pain. And then he'd go get a shot, and he was like cringing and really, you know, tense about it, and just a little tiny momentary prick, you know. So a lot of this, our relationship with pain is how we relate to it. And Shinzen Yang, who's like one of the teachers who really has done some wonderful teachings around pain, he came up with a formula that I think summarizes the whole thing. And that's suffering, pain equals, okay, I'm messing it up. Suffering equals pain times resistance. So if we get interested in the pain and don't resist it, we don't have to suffer. It might still be unpleasant. Like, you know, when he lifts weights, it's not pleasant. You know, there's a lot of discomfort in the body when you're lifting really heavy weight, when you're working out really hard. But there's something about the way we hold it. We're not resisting the pain. We're just in it. We're in it and we're moving through it. The other thing that's interesting about pain is that you can get very, very concentrated in pain. And I always remember the first time that happened with me. I was having a lot of knee pain during a retreat. And I decided, okay, I'm going to really pay attention to it. And I just really focused on all the myriad of different sensations. It's like, you know, there's no center to it. It just kept shifting. The center kept shifting. The intensity would change. It didn't stay the same. It wasn't a solitary thing. Again, what Shinzen used to say, you divide and conquer pain. So you notice all the many, many different sensations. And as I kept focusing on that, all of a sudden I just got so peaceful, deeply, deeply concentrated. And I remember my mind saying, this is a playground of pain. And it was just so sweet, you know, so sweet. And it was just a very, very different experience. But it doesn't mean that that's what we want to do all the time. And we really need to honor our bodies, you know. And if we don't know whether some pain we're having, staying in the position is going to hurt us, I always say to err in the side of safety. And I want to say one thing for anybody who has chronic pain, that the instructions for working with pain are different, because with chronic pain that's always there, we don't want to magnetize the mind towards the pain. And so sometimes, you know, people have, when I first started with this practice, I have chronic pain that I've had since I was a child. And you know, my teachers would say this, and things got worse for me. And so it took me a while to really understand that there's a difference in pain that comes and goes, and the difference between chronic pain. But still, how we relate to the pain, that's universal for chronic pain or for any other pain. Pain plus resistance equals suffering. And I want to say one last thing I want to say is, you know, the Buddha taught meditation in four postures. So sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. And it's really an embodied practice. So it doesn't matter what position we're in, bending over, whatever we're doing. I really encourage you to take this to heart, to really allow yourself to, for this retreat to be, continue to be an embodied practice, regardless of posture you find yourself in. And so next, Max is going to do walking meditation.